Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
If I've not had the opportunity to meet you, my name is Justin. Me and my wife, Elise, have the privilege of pastoring our Joplin campus. And so we love the opportunity. We're in our 13th year here at James River Church. Amazing what we've got to see God do over the years. And it's a privilege to open God's word with you tonight. You know, I'm grateful for this house. I'm grateful for our leaders because they believe big. They lead us to pray big. Aren't you grateful we see big things because we have a big God? Which is really what I want to take you to in God's word tonight. I want to talk to you tonight about today's posture, tomorrow's possibilities. Come on. You know, when I think about the word posture, I initially think about good posture. We have four kids and our 8-year-old and our 6-year-old. We're teaching them right now to have good posture at the dinner table. We repeat ourselves a lot right now, friends, but we're getting there. But you know, I did some research about the power of posture. And I thought I'd share some of that research with you tonight if you'd like to hear it. It's quite amazing what I learned, that posture has a lot of physical, amazing realities when you have good posture. Look at this. The first thing posture does is it reduces lower back pain. Who knew? Fewer headaches when you have good posture. Increased energy levels. Let's go. It's getting better and better. Less tension in your shoulders and back. That's a good one. Increased lung capacity. Now, I got to pause. You can't see it. But this section right here, they're all sitting up in their chairs a little. I can tell they're already responding to the message. This section, come on. Improved circulation and digestion. I love this one. You can appear taller, everybody, if you have good posture. If you wanted to appear taller, come on, good posture will get you there. And then finally, increased self-confidence. That's a pretty good list for some good posture. Healthy posture clearly has positive effects on our physical body. But so too does our spiritual posture have a massive implications into our spiritual vibrancy as believers. And how many of you know that physical posture is important, but spiritual posture is essential? Physical posture may increase self-confidence, but I love this. Spiritual posture increases God confidence. And God confidence is the best confidence you and I can walk in every single day, because a God confidence says, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. A God confidence says, no, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Oh, a God confidence says, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. A God confidence can see you through any trial, every difficulty, because when you have a God confidence, there's nothing impossible that you and I cannot experience. And in 2 Kings chapter 13, we read a story of a king who has a massive opportunity in front of him. But it will be his spiritual posture that leads to a lack in his life instead of seeing what God would have done for him and his people. King Jehoash and the Israelite people are living in the consequences of them turning their hearts from God and turning their hearts towards idols. It's resulted in the weakening of the nation, the disrepair of the armies, and even the loss of territory. With the threat of the king of Aram still coming towards them, King Jehoash finally turns to God through the prophet Elisha. That's where I want to read together in 2 Kings chapter 13, beginning in verse 14. It says, Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him, and he wept over him. My father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. Take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said. And he opened it. "Shoot," Elisha said, and he shot. "The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram," Elisha declared. "You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek." Now, what I want to show you in this passage and in the scriptures that follow is that we discover three postures that are necessary in the life of believers if we're going to see the supernatural, miraculous power of God that he intends and desires to do in our life and in the generations to come. And the first posture we see is a posture of faith. That God will often ask you to take a faith step or action that seems illogical. Anybody ever had that happen? Think about this. Elisha says to King Jehoash, "Take your bow and shoot an arrow out the window." Do you remember they have lost a massive amount of their army? Their weapons are in short supply. Yet the very thing they lack, God, through Elisha, instructs him to shoot. Why? Because God doesn't need a huge army to bring a great victory. He can use the one thing to do what we could never do with all of our strength. He says, "The thing you lack, I'm asking you to shoot." But not only did they lack artillery, did you notice he said, "Shoot it out a window"? And on the other side of that window was not an army. He was going to shoot an arrow that would hit no one and defeat nothing. But I want to take you to a very important piece of information the text provides in verse 16. "Take the bow and arrow in your hands," he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hand. Now, I want to show you what's happening here. Elisha's hands are representing the Lord's hands. And how many know when God's hands are on your hands, it doesn't matter how illogical it seems, when his hands are on your hands, there's supernatural power attached that can defeat the enemy, that can overcome the situation, and can bring breakthrough when it seems impossible. Oh, let me encourage you, it's not just your hands praying for that person in the aisles. God's hands are on your hands. It's not just your hands going into the workplace. It's God's hands on your hands. It's not just your hands building that business. Oh, God's hands are on your hands. It's not just your hands in that classroom, in that hospital room. When God's hands are on your hands, the illogical requests turn into supernatural victories. But for all of us, we can think, well, how did that ever happen? And he didn't know. How does it make sense to shoot an arrow and yet gain victory? You know, I remember moving to Springfield in 2011. I'd moved to go to seminary. I had long listened to Pastor John's podcast, so we knew we would be landing at James River. There was no question. And I got my classes going. We started attending. And I was going to start looking for a part-time job to help supplement income while I was in school. And I'll never forget in our prayer time, the Lord said, "Instead of 20 hours of work, I want you to give that 20 hours to the church each week." I said, "Well, that doesn't make any logical sense, Lord. How do you expect me to pay my bills?" He said, "You do it, and I'll take care of your bills." So I took an illogical step. Through a series of events, I ended up in the adult ministries, life groups department, serving roughly 20 hours every week. And you know what happened as I started doing that? Unexpected scholarships began to come my way. Scholarships, I remember getting a letter that I did not apply for. It says, "Congratulations, you've been awarded $3,000 in scholarships." Then there was a time I did an outside organization, I applied for a $10,000 scholarship. I got the letter, like a week later, and it was a letter of rejection. But friends, I listened to Pastor John way too much. I said, "Well, that can change." And so I prayed and fasted for 3 weeks. I'm sorry, 3 days. 3 weeks would be great, but this one was 3 days. Because Pastor John said, nothing can fix. Anything can be fixed with a three-day fast. And so again, I just had him in my mind. I said, I'm going to pray, and God's going to change this. And you know, it was 3 weeks later, I got an email, and with no explanation, it says, we've decided to award you the $10,000 scholarship. Why? Because illogical steps of faith lead to supernatural victories. If some here tonight, you're walking, you've taken a step of faith. Can I just tell you, God is with you. He's for you. He's fighting, and victory's on the other side of a posture of faith. Amen. Well, number two is a posture of obedience. Obedience is the prerequisite for greater opportunities and victories in God's kingdom. I want you to notice verse 18. Then he said, take the arrows. In the first instruction, he was asked to take an arrow, a single arrow. He obeyed, and now watch, opportunity's growing. Now take the arrows. He's gonna see something bigger. And the king took them, and Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck it 3 times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times. The king takes 3 arrows and begins shooting them into the ground, and he stops. Questions why? Did Elisha tell him to stop? No. Did he run out of arrows? Apparently not, because Elisha said, you should have shot 5 or 6, which means he had 5 or 6 arrows to shoot. But if he had 5 or 6 arrows and he only shot 3, what is Scripture trying to tell us? He did half of what he could have done. It's a half-hearted king. He kind of obeyed. But how many know partial obedience in the kingdom of God is actually disobedience? He got tired of shooting. He thought, this ought to be good enough. I know I should, but you know what? I don't feel like shooting 6 arrows. I'm gonna shoot 3. Partial obedience is disobedience in the kingdom of God. What an amazing sermon we heard on Sunday from Pastor John on living in obedience to the word of God, because it's obedience to the word of God that introduces the power of God that transforms our life and open the door for the supernatural to take place. But it's disobedience that results in something much less than God would have intended. Look at verse 19. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only 3 times. Disobedience, friends, is very costly. And it never just affects you. This is gonna affect the nation. And not only that, it's gonna affect the generations that come after him as they are defeated by their enemy because of the lack of obedience in the king's life to honor the word of the Lord. But the other side is true too. Wholehearted obedience leads to more in God's kingdom, because wholehearted obedience leads to a supernatural power in your life and your future that multiplies your miracles. Did you notice? You would have defeated all of them, completely defeated, if you would have just done what the word of the Lord said. Can I encourage you tonight? God wants to pour his blessing on your life, on your family, on your future legacy, but tomorrow's blessings begin with today's obedience. Well, there's a third posture. It's the posture of heart. Our response to God's instruction reveals the condition of our heart. I believe if we were to do a spiritual autopsy on King Jehoshaphat's heart, we'd find a few things. I think we'd find first that he had a heart that wanted God's power but wasn't interested in God's plan. You see, when you begin to dissect this scenario, the king was desperate for God's power. He wanted to be rescued, no doubt. But his lack of obedience demonstrated that he was more interested in God's hand of power than God's heart. And when we want just God's hand to get us out of a situation. We miss what God has so much more intended for us. He wants us to know his heart. He wants us to know his ways, because it's not gonna be the last battle you face. But how many know when God brings you through a battle, when you know his heart, like we heard last Wednesday night, he is good and he does good, that when you go into that next battle, you stand and you say, no, I watched God deliver me last time. He's a good God and he is with me today, and I know his ways, and his ways are powerful, and his ways are miraculous, and I will see him bring me through. Secondly, we see a heart that was more concerned with image than integrity. No doubt he's a powerful king, and he's shooting arrows into the ground, probably thinking, what am I doing? I'm a king. I should be shooting these arrows at the enemy, not in the ground. And at some point, he got his eyes off of God. He got it onto himself and what he looked like. I look like a fool doing this. What are we doing here? We're already short artillery. But God wanted to do so much more in his life. But he got his eyes off the real thing. And when we're more concerned with our image than our integrity, we forfeit the victories that God wanted to bring into our lives. Because it's all about him and his glory. Finally, it reveals a heart that lacked enthusiasm and wholehearted commitment. King Jehoash stopped striking because his heart was in a dark place. His heart was not full on for the Lord. So instead of enthusiastically responding to God's instruction, he instead responded with how he felt instead of what God said. And what this story shows us, friends, is both the devastating results of a half-hearted faith, but it also gives us insight into what God's heart is for those who position their lives with a wholehearted love and commitment to the Lord. Greater victories are on the other side of a whole heart, of an obedient heart, of a heart that will step out in faith. The good news for you and me is that we don't have to respond like King Jehoash did. We can respond with a posture of faith. It says, God, it doesn't matter how illogical what you're asking me to do seems. If you say it, I'll step out. I'll do it. For some, that step, that illogical step of faith is to begin giving the first to the Lord in your finances. You know, tithing is an illogical step. It makes no sense how we can give the first to God and he'll do more with 90 than we could ever do with 100. It doesn't make sense unless God's hand is on your hand. Some, it's a posture of obedience. God, I'll do whatever you say to do. You know, there's some, that posture of obedience is getting baptized. You've been saved. It's time to get baptized. That's the first step of obedience. For some in this new year, it's to get in a freedom group. It's to say, you know what? I'm not going to allow this to continue to dominate my life. This is a year I'm going to get free. I'm going to walk in obedience to the Lord, and I'm going to see him do something powerful in my life. I'm going to get in a life group. I'm going to get on a dream team, and I'm going to watch how God uses community to propel my future forward. I have a heart that says, God, I'm just wholehearted for you. God wants to strengthen every single person in this room tonight. And I love how God responds to a person who's wholehearted. Look at 2 Chronicles 6:19. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are what? Fully committed to him. He wants to strengthen you tonight.